Hey there, thanks for checking out this episode of R&R's Ask the Expert. Today, we are talking more about the coronavirus and making sure that your insurance policies are in line in case you are thinking about doing cleaning and disinfecting. You want to make sure that you are covered if you're going to do this kind of work. So today, I am joined by an insurance expert. It's Dave Dibdahl. He is the president of American Risk Management Resources Network, Armor Network. He is a frequent contributor of R&R. So Dave, thanks so much for joining us. What are some of the big questions you are getting from your clients right now?
Well, today was a little bit more quiet than it has been for the last 10, but the contractors that we insure are very concerned. Do I have the coverage to go out and do the decontamination work? And we knew about some of the things to look for. Nobody had really paid a lot of attention to virus in the past, not a lot of reason to check that out. And it turns out that just because you're insured for mold or category 3 water doesn't necessarily mean that you're covered for the virus work. So we've got a lot of questions on that. Nobody had asked the underwriters either. So then we went out and surveyed the underwriters. There are about 10 insurance companies that are pretty good at writing restoration contractors. 4 of those policies work pretty much off the shelf. Some of the underwriters, disturbingly, said, we can't insure these guys for that. So the biggest issue that comes up, and it's not written anywhere, is a material change in the risk. I'd be more concerned about that than anything. So when you apply for insurance, you tell the underwriter what you're going to do for a living that year. And nobody was planning on where we are today. It's great these guys are getting out there and helping. They are the people that can get this work done. The biohazard training they had for Category 3 water is exactly what they need for this. It's more upgraded than that. But it turns out they are also the only contractors with the equipment. Some of the underwriters said, well, we don't want the restorers out there doing it. We want the hazmat teams doing it. And I pointed out, hazmat people don't have a clue how to clean anything. And there aren't enough of them. There are not enough hazmat contractors in the United States to deal with what we're going to be dealing with. So we got a lot of questions on, am I insured? And we weren't getting good answers to that in the last week. And the insurance underwriters are still figuring things out. Their bosses are very concerned about the overall impact that the virus will have on just the overall insurance results. So we had a hiccup with a major carrier yesterday with them reconsidering whether they could insure fire water restoration contractors. They had to go back to the drawing board. That took them about 3 hours. They're back in.
So you said a lot of it's kind of up in the air. Have you figured out any must-haves right now that you know for sure contractors need to have on their insurance?
Right. Well, the big things that stand out, and it's... If you've got an exclusion specifically for virus, and they are out there, it's a standard general liability exclusion, but they also find their way onto the contractor's policies. Obviously, that doesn't work. Another common exclusion that we find on pollution policies is a communicable disease exclusion. These are liability insurance policies. If somebody's going to sue a contractor because they think the contractor exposed them to a virus, that is a communicable disease. So a policy with that in there doesn't work at all. And then we found one that covered virus as a named pollutant. That's a really good thing, but had a communicable disease exclusion. So that just doesn't work. So you got to look for that. Is there a communicable disease exclusion? Obviously, that doesn't work. Then you check to see, is virus or microbial matter or microbial substance or biological material? I like that one. That's very broad, biological material. I teach my staff. That includes a dead horse in a field somewhere. That would be biological material. Very broad. Those are all good things, but it has to have that. If it doesn't have that, nobody in the country can tell you if virus is a covered pollutant or not. Nobody knows the answer to that. We can't even find court cases on that. We can find court cases on bacteria and mold, but not virus. So the policy has to have coverage for virus and preferably to get over that material change in the risk issue, it should have some affirmative coverage grant, something from the underwriter that says, yep, we know you're doing this work and it's good with us. So there's one insurance company that has that on the drawing board now, but we just found out minutes ago, they will only sell it to their current customers, no new customers. And since it's only one insurance company with it, we're still trying to figure that out.
Okay. That's a lot. I'm sure you were saying that there are no cases to look at right now concerning viruses. I'm guessing after this, there's going to be cases to look at moving forward. So
there will be many, many cases, hopefully none for a contractor.
That's right.
Where it will get tested is in the business interruption claims for the property owners.
Okay.
So we've got an article coming out on that. It's nuts and bolts technical insurance. And I'm getting 5 emails a day from law firms that are doing webcasts on that topic. Is there coverage for business interruption? One of the things contractors need to be aware of is, does the property owner have money to pay them? They do this week, but we'll be doing this in August, and they should pay attention to, do they have money to get paid? It doesn't look like there will be insurance for the property owners. Okay. Ironically, there was insurance. I've been trying to sell it for 10 years, and we couldn't get the property owners to buy it. Marsh & McLennan, another large brokerage firm, had a pandemic policy and they couldn't sell that. They took that off the market 2 years ago.
Okay, so I know that you were part of putting together a really vital document that came out between the IICRC and the RIA within the last week or so, or depending on when people are watching this video, came out in mid-March. It's a really important document to help contractors who are gonna do this cleaning. Can you talk a little bit about that document and other resources that are available to contractors right now?
Oh, sure. That's a very good question. The document that came out from RIA and IICRC was actually a collaborative effort of both organizations and a major franchisor who actually raised the need for it, which was ServPro. There was no usable protocol for cleaning virus. There was one for mold, there was one for water, but nothing for virus. The CDC had some recommendations. They were 262 pages long and I couldn't make any sense out of them. So we create a little task force to put something together that would be reasonable. The idea was to have a protocol that the government could approve. I don't know where we stand on that, but my main concern was I needed a protocol for the contractors that I knew would be out there doing the virus decon work. And so it's on the RIA webpage. It's called the Preliminary Report for Restoration Contractors Assisting Clients with COVID-19 Concerns. If you follow the protocols in there, you will do a pretty good job, and it will be almost impossible for any plaintiff's lawyer to say you didn't if you're following those protocols, because it's a lot of people contributed to that at the end. So real good advice to utilize the industry standards as much as you can. And it's not a standard. It'll eventually turn into one, but IICRC takes years to produce a standard. This we had 7 days.
Yes. Okay. All right, Dave, is there anything else you think contractors need to know right now as they're heading into this? This is just the beginning.
Michelle, I'm getting something here that says your network bandwidth is low.
Yeah, it says your internet connection is unstable. I hear you okay. So just keep talking and I should be able to fix it in post.
Okay. And you asked me another question though?
Yes. My last question was just if you have, do you have anything else you want to add to any of this that contractors need to know?
Just in summary, you need to check your insurance. The insurance companies were down on biological coverage after the mold scare, and they've slipped in all sorts of different kinds of exclusions. They'll jump out at you. They're usually attached by an endorsement. So you can't have exclusions for communicable disease. You should have coverage with virus listed as something that is covered on the contractor's pollution or environmental policy. You should protect your workers, number one. Make sure that they're trained and how to use the equipment. This is no place for on-the-job training. So hopefully people have some experience at it before you send anybody out. I don't think it is a high risk work, actually. It's not high risk work. It looks like it is, but contractors that know how to do a good job with biohazards should be able to do just fine on this. And I really appreciate their efforts. So God bless the restorers.
Beautiful. Thanks, Dave, so much for your time. I really appreciate it. Thank you to those of you who have watched this video. You can find a lot more coronavirus resources on rnrmagonline.com and see articles from Dave pretty frequently in R&R as well. Thanks, Dave.